Yo, 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 TP and MB in the house. What
yeah,
up?
Man. Wicked. Top of the morning, Thomas Parry.
It's the afternoon, what? You fool.
Ah, I'm never good at
Have
rapping.
Have a cup of tea.
Tom Matt Attack. That was the most random introduction we've ever done, I think.
I was feeling it.
You were, man. Yeah, I could see it in your eyes, daddy-o.
I'm ready to go. I'm in full flow, bro. What do you know?
You're going too
My
slow.
My favourite Teletubbies, Poe.
No. Ruined it. Ruined
did
it.
Did I?
Yes, you did. You're never going to get on top of the
yeah,
pops like
it's not Poe.
It's not. It's actually Tinky Winky,
yeah,
isn't
dipsy.
It?
Dipsy.
You're a dipsy, man. I see. How are you doing, Thomas?
Yeah, I'm a bit tired. We were up last night, weren't we?
Oh, we were. We were.
Well, I was at Mr. Boyle. Sorry, the cat's attacking my feet again.
It's okay. Bear with him.
Yeah, we were at Mr. Boyle's residence last night, myself and our good friend Austin.
TM.
TM.
It's a registered trademark.
We watched The Wizard. Ow!
Yeah, we did.
Ow. Yes.
I love the sound of you getting mauled on podcasts.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, watched The Wizard, which I really liked, actually. I was pleasantly surprised how good it was.
Yeah, it's not a bad film.
Very entertaining.
California!
And after that, we played, what's it called? The Jackbox Party Pack.
Yeah, boy.
On the PS4.
We played some Drawful.
Yeah, Drawful was great. And the You Don't Know Jack, we played that one. And you guys played the Fibbage one.
We did play
Fibbage.
My tablet
was about to run out, so I didn't want to risk starting and not being able to finish.
Yeah.
You know, that's a terrible thing.
It would. That would be a faux pas of Fibbage.
Mm.
Yeah, it was all right. I bought it because I'd heard good things about it. And as a result of hearing these good things, I was like, well, I've got you two over for the first time in a long time where you've actually been. I've been sat in the same room as our good friend Austin with you.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I'll take advantage of the situation, buy a game because it was currently on PSN for the very reasonable price for both Jackbox Party Pack 1 and 2 for like 180 kroner.
And what's that, like 5 games or something?
It's 10 games, actually. That's only the first pack. I didn't download the second one because I didn't have enough hard drive space. But
so that's not a bad game.
It's not a bad game. It's all right. I can see some shelf life in it.
In retro, in a way, it's presentation.
Yes,
actually,
definitely.
It's varied across the You Don't Know Jack game was very retro presentation, like Austin pointed out, like a video at the bowling alley when you get a strike.
Yeah.
A lot of it looked like that.
Well, to be honest with you, like from what I remember, I think there may even be You Don't Know Jack games on the PS1.
Oh, wow.
So, like, I think this goes back a while. Like, things like Drawful are very nice games.
Drawful, yeah.
Who've not played Drawful. It's essentially you connect to use the PlayStation as like a hub, and then you connect using an online code as you do for all of the Jackbox games, like You Don't Know Jack and whatever. You log on to the website on your smartphone, you type in this phone number, and then you're connected to the server, and also so is the PlayStation 4. And then it gives you questions, and then you have to respond to them on the iPad or your Android device, whatever.
You don't need controllers, so do you need one at least?
I think you need one to select it from the get-go,
but then,
if you've got a console, you're going to have one, right?
Other people, and then most people will have phones, or if you're lucky, like I was, I had my tablet on me, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, great evening of fun times.
Yeah, You Don't Know Jack is just a quiz game. The quiz questions were like, essentially like prop quiz questions, but like framed around pop culture.
Yeah.
There was a quip about Kim Kardashian's brain and how much percent of that brain is made up of water. And
it's
was
not 100.
No, it's not. It's 80%, Thomas. 80% of the human brain is made up of water.
20% of something else in there.
So, like, it has basic. Yeah. I don't want to say what that is.
Oh, I don't know.
But there's a selection of questions, and essentially, I guess they just probably rephrase the questions every time they do one of these updates.
Yeah.
So, you know, they just phrase it around a celebrity. So they said Matthew McConaughey has had something they call in the reconnaissance. If this were true and Matthew McConaughey did have a reconnaissance, what period was he technically in before it? Which is a history question, and you guessed correctly, the Middle Ages. I guess the Age of Enlightenment, which is false, that comes after. But, you know, it's all good.
Sort some men from the boys.
It does. It does. And then Drawful is kind of like a draw something vibe to it. You get a random selection of words or phrases.
I've totally forgotten about that.
Yeah, you've forgotten about that.
I need to download that again.
Yeah, get on it. So you just get your tablet. You can only draw in one colour and you can't erase. And then you just have to draw a basic picture. Some of them were pretty easy. Like, what was the hot dog one?
Hot like dog in a button, no?
No, it's like space hot dog or something like that, right?
Something like that.
And then they started getting a bit weirder. Like one of mine was like the thing in the mirror, the twin in the mirror is evil or something like that, or the reflection in the mirror is evil.
The person in the mirror.
The person in the mirror is evil. I also had star magnet hat puppy. And I mean, like, fuck, you draw that, especially with your thumb or finger on an iPhone, which I had
on
to
a
do.
Phone,
it's pretty hard.
Tricky, yeah.
But it was all right. It was a pretty good experience. I'm looking forward to playing it again with a bigger group, maybe, because you can play up to 8 players in these games.
Eight.
Yeah, it's like Buzz all over again.
Yeah, because it said 3 players. Oh, you don't have many friends.
Yeah.
Didn't it?
Well, to be honest with you, like, it seemed like the Jackbox formula is generally Buzz, right? Like that You Don't Know Jack game is just Buzz. But I think this predates Buzz by a significant amount of time.
Well, no, because Buzz is more about questions to do with music or films specifically.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you know, the
with a little bit more
just 4 button
trivia.
Like,
oh yeah, sorry, Buzz has got trivia.
Yeah.
Option, yeah.
Depends
yeah,
what Buzz
similar,
game
very
get.
Similar thing to, yeah, to yeah. Buzz. So if you enjoy a bit of Buzz, it may be worth checking out.
It tries very hard to be funny. I don't know. One or two things made me laugh a little bit, but
some of them come off a little bit irritating. But
agreed.
You know, it's all right. It's palatable.
Yes,
might be the word.
It's all right. It's all right. Played anything else?
Have I played anything else
this
week?
Thomas.
Only the odd thing here and there. I played some Black Ops 2 this morning, single player, because I quite enjoyed our usual Thursday night session of Black Ops. And
yeah,
I thought, well, I'm going to complete this story. So I did a mission, and it was surprisingly short. I've been used to playing Halo, where the missions are really long. And kind of whizzed through it. Some people popped out from behind boxes. I died a few times, but, you know, rinse and repeat, try again, and you get there eventually. There's not really a lot to it. It's just people pop up from behind stuff, and you shoot them and try and survive.
Yeah, pretty
run
much.
Run from this point to that point to that point.
That's my experience of Call of Duty campaigns, to be honest with you.
But then there's some sort of thing like, you were working undercover. You were a mole within the villain's organization.
You have to dig a series of intricate tunnels in the dark with a
very
blind.
Good, Matthew. Anyway, moving on. That fell flat.
It did. It's almost as if I've been playing too much You Don't Know Jack.
Yeah. Well, so yeah, you were placed in, and you end up having to shoot your own soldiers. You know, because you can't let the guy know that you're
a mole.
Wow. But it didn't really impact much until the very end of the mission, where you're in a position where you have to make a choice. You're asked to shoot one of your fellow troops, a named character, an important player in the story. And then you have to make a decision on what you do. Of course, I didn't shoot him.
Yeah.
I don't think the spoilers matter for Black Ops 2 right now.
No, I don't think so either.
Because I don't even know the name. Was it Woods? It's probably Woods I was told to shoot.
I don't know. I was going to say Soap. There's generally a soap in those games.
Nah,
it's
Modern
Black
Ops,
Warfare, right?
Modern Warfare.
I don't know.
I don't know what's going on in Black Ops 2 because I leave it so far in between playing it every time that I've totally lost the plot. I know the bad guy looks a bit like Oscar Isaacs in Ex Machina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he's got something wrong with his face, some sort of scar.
Of course, they always do. These villains.
Yeah, probably happened earlier where he was maybe slightly burnt by something.
Probably.
Vaguely. Anyway, it was fun for, 20 minutes when I finished the mission. Other than that, a bit of Splatoon online, again on last Thursday. Really enjoying it. Really like the new maps, like this one where you start at the very top and there's all these kind of bridges going downwards. So it's sort of like really cool, different levels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
One where the water level rises and lowers, viewing
different
areas of the map. But what frustrates me about Splatoon is there's only ever 2 available at one time. I think it would be a much better game if and a game that I'd want to play for longer periods if there was more rotation in the levels.
I mean, I think it worked very well when the game first came out, when, you know, you were just getting used to the maps. And so I was like, okay, cool. Well, I'm glad I get to play on two maps because I get to know these two maps now.
Yeah, but I want the choice to be able to, online, to be have a vote and choose what map we want to play on next.
Yeah.
Like Call of Duty, for instance.
Yeah.
But they keep releasing new maps. I guess it's a way of them justifying releasing a new map. People are definitely going to play it if they're forced to play it.
Yeah, but I also mean it means that if you're playing, like, Halo, a lot of those old maps, other than, like, Valhalla and all of these kind of stuff in Halo 3, would just go dead. Like, you couldn't get a game on half of the ones that were built for Forge because no one cared. They were either custom game types, so that was it. So I think it's a way of still populating the server, you know what I mean? Like, if they've got those maps, then everyone has to play them.
Yeah, okay. So maybe if they just included a couple more, like four in rotation,
yeah,
rather than two. Two does feel restricting. But yeah, it's a really great game. Every time I pick it up, I have a good time with that one. Believe it or not, I picked up Bayonetta for Smash Brothers.
Really?
Yeah. I thought it might get me playing it again. So I'm intending to play that this weekend. Get a bit of use out of Bayonetta.
Did you play Ryu at all in it?
Yeah.
Actually buy
him? I got Ryu, yeah.
Did you have to buy a character pack, or did you have to buy each individual character?
No, I you know, with me, I only want specific characters. So okay. I wasn't going to spend any extra money to get... You can get bundles of characters. There's one, I think, a bundle of every downloadable character is like £30 or something like that. But I think they're about a fiver, just over a fiver for the character and the arena to play on.
It's a bit expensive, really. It is
quite expensive, yeah. Same with Cloud, for instance. He's same.
Because I would want Cloud, but I have no idea how Cloud would play in that game, other than like Royal Marth.
And yeah, it'd be so nice. Really, I don't know if there is an option to test the character before purchasing. You can watch videos of the characters, but that's not the same as trying it out. But I guess go around a friend's place who's got it.
Tell you what would be nice with that stuff is when they bring the amiibos out, if they say, hey, you bought the amiibo. When you touch this amiibo, this character unlocks. Because then it would actually give a point to the amiibos, and I wouldn't feel so bad about spending £15 on a bit of plastic.
Yeah, if they included that unlockable with the amiibo, it would definitely persuade me to buy an amiibo of the character.
Or even a code.
Wanted.
Like, even if they're worrying about that
or
kind of stuff.
Or just a discount code, at least.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be the full character. If they want to make a couple of... Maybe discount code for £2 off, that would be really welcome. I'd like that a lot.
I'd agree with that.
Cool, so that's about it. I picked up Pokemon Ruby again for a little while.
Yeah.
But then my battery ran out, and then I was hoping to play it the next day, and I'd forgotten that my battery had run out, and so I didn't end up playing it again.
Oh, Tom.
During the week. I'd hoped to play some Destiny on Thursday, but my friend Gareth couldn't install it at the time because he's got a limit on his downloads.
Ah, okay.
So he wants to get an unlimited because his download limit for a month is 20 gig. And to play at the Taken King... You have to do a 20 gigabyte download from the internet.
Man.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't actually give you the option of saying, do you just want to play Destiny and not the Taken King stuff?
Yeah.
If you just say, even before you put in the codes for Taken King, which they're not on the disc, the extra codes, it still wants you to download the game 20 gig.
Shit.
I don't know if that's 20 gig of updates or what on earth that is.
Pretty hard going.
18, sorry. So he'd have 2 gigabytes left of download for that month if he wanted to download.
That's pretty intense.
Destiny.
I'd not like a download limit.
No. He's looking to get unlimited now, but
yeah,
he said it's never been a problem in the past, but in his current state of gaming, with huge downloads,
then he needs it.
Yeah.
Shit.
I'm trying to wrap my brains. If there's anything else I played, probably not.
Okay.
What about you, Matt? Well, maybe I'll think of something.
Well, to be honest, I haven't really played that much this week. I beat the Smurfs for the Game Boy for this week's Biographic, which will hopefully be up before this podcast, if not around the same time. So if you haven't watched that yet, go check it out. You can hear my opinions on that game. But I also, I beat The Witness now.
Ah, yes.
I say I beat The Witness. I have not solved every single panel in the game because there's like 600 and something. I've beaten all of the lasers. I've unlocked all 11 lasers in the game, so I've done something around the region of about 300-400 panels, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Which is still 3 or 4 individual puzzles. I'm still pretty happy with that.
Yeah.
There is, however, a trophy at the end of the game. Now, I'm going to say this. It's 14 minutes into this podcast. I reckon I'm going to talk spoilers on this game for at least 10 minutes. So if you want your Witness experience unspoiled, other than... I'm going to discuss the nature of some of the puzzles. Obviously, I can't tell you the... how to solve them, because I don't, this isn't a visual medium and I don't have diagrams and charts to hand. Or maybe I do. Tom, can you confirm if I have charts or diagrams?
He doesn't.
I don't. Thank you. But I will discuss the nature of some of the puzzles, so if you're looking for that stuff to be a surprise, then maybe skip on until the half hour mark, maybe, just to be safe.
And I think you missed something really important.
You will, yeah. Because I'm going to reveal what the last hidden trophy in Destiny, in the Witness is. And it's a bit of a doozy, as I will explain.
Go on.
So, spoilers from now. Yeah, so the last trophy in that game is essentially you whittle your way through all of the world, you get these lasers, you unlock them, and you go through all the areas to do that. And essentially, if you unlock all of the lasers, as you're entering the mountain, which is the last bit of the game, if you look up at the puzzle box, there's essentially another bit of track underneath, so you can extend the puzzle down. And when you do that, it unlocks a puzzle further into the dungeon, which is... there's a guy kind of hunched over a puzzle, and if you just complete the game the first time like I did, it's just a blank puzzle. There's nothing there. However, if you do this puzzle, then you unlock a time door, which you have to run into, and there's hundreds of puzzles in there. There's more puzzles, and they're all really fucking hard puzzles, as you would imagine, because it's the end game content. However, the last trophy is linked to essentially you solving this series of events, which, unlike the rest of the game, is completely random. So you walk in and you go through all these puzzle areas, and at the end is a section surrounded by waterfalls, and there is a record player. You walk over to the record player, you turn the record player on, which starts Peer Gynt, the musical playing. And so there's a very serene music at the start, and then it slowly ramps up into the Hall of the Mountain King, you know, the Alton Towers music. Yeah. And so that comes...
or the Sonic like, the Hedgehog TV series intro music.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that was in the Sonic movie. But anyways, so you click the music player on, it start the record starts playing, and then it lights up puzzles. Right. You then have, I think it's roughly 10 minutes to solve 14 pretty hard puzzles, and they are always random. You will never get the same puzzle twice because they're procedurally generated.
Is it tense?
It's fucking impossible. I've tried it now for the last 4 days, and I can't do it. It's just the luck of the draw sometimes. Like, I can get quite far into it and get to, like, the 6th or 7th puzzle, and then I'll just hit a brick wall. And there are ways of cheating. I can put the console into rest mode, and I can then, like, use Photoshop or use a thing on my phone to try and trace these things.
Really? Would you go to that length?
I don't know if I want to, because it's not really deserving of the platinum, but at the same time, I have no other way of doing it. So I've just kind of gone, okay, I have what I want out of this game. I'm done.
You don't have to get every trophy.
No, I don't, but I wanted to platinum it because I really like the game.
Some games you can't platinum.
But I don't think I can platinum this.
All the trophies.
Yeah.
Toybox Turbos, you don't get a platinum trophy for getting all the trophies.
No, did you get a gold?
Yeah.
This is a game with the platinum, though, and the platinum is just called platinum.
Yeah, I find that interesting, though, that not all games have platinum.
I guess it's the size and scope of the game, maybe.
Because it's just like on Xbox, when it tells you which games you've got all achievements on, doesn't it? Gives you a list. That's the equivalent of getting the platinum.
Yes.
I see that.
Yeah, but I mean, like, every game on the Xbox 360 now on the Xbox One has 1,000 achievements, right? There isn't any game with 200 anymore like there used to be.
I think Rare Replay's got more.
Well, yeah, I assume so. I think 1,000 now is the minimum.
The minimum, yeah. Right, I think.
God, I wish I still cared about achievements. But then again, I don't.
Do you care about trophies?
Well, no, I just wanted to I wanted it to be there because I very rarely bother to platinum games.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I kind of want the platinum on this. I really enjoyed it.
Platinum to platinum games.
No, I haven't platinumed a platinum game. I've only platinumed two games, I think. A platinum Transistor. Yeah. As you know, Braid is one of the only games I also had 200 achievement points on. And I'm not sure what the other one is. I did LEGO Dimensions. And there's another one. I can't really think what it is. Never mind. It's not important. But
neither are trophies or
no, they're not. It's a complete waste of time. So there is more stuff in this game. I believe I may have mentioned it last time, is that some of the environments in The Witness are actually puzzles themselves. So you can be sailing in the boat that takes you from island to island, and then you can suddenly realise, oh shit, there's a circle up there, and when I'm at this point in the thing, it will align, and then I can actually solve a puzzle that like tracks along the side of the hill and lights up these totems, and doing so will actually give you a way to access a video, which is essentially lectures by people on philosophical points, which are kind of the rumination of the ending. And the gist of the game for you, Thomas, is such. Essentially, it's kind of the whole thing is really like a metaphor for you wanting to, like, people wanting to create things and people wanting to make, like, their life's work matter and all of this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the title, The Witness, is essentially saying that this isn't possible unless there is someone to witness this.
Uh-huh.
So Jonathan Blow's kind of point is, like, that this is his opus, he believes. Or he believes he is making a game that he may never top.
What do you think about that?
I think he probably could. I think it's a good game. I can't really. I love the game. Like I said last week, I'll get into a point about. I think it's probably one of the best games I've played in a long, long time. Puzzle wise, especially because it's challenged
top
me.
10,
like,
is it in your top 10 games of all time?
I won't go that far.
No. Okay.
But definitely the best game I've played in a long while. Probably if I had to do like top 10 puzzle games, it would definitely be in the top 5.
Mm.
I really like puzzle games. I perhaps got more out of Portal because of the writing, but other than that, I can't think of a puzzle game I enjoyed more than this. It really challenged me in a load of ways. There's a variety of different puzzles in this that you wouldn't get in anything else. There's sound puzzles, there's puzzles involving colour, there's puzzles where you have to think of both ends of this thing you have to connect. It's really well thought out.
Do they all take the same form as the puzzles I saw you play last week? Are they all essentially that sort of maze with a line that you
have to draw?
There
is a circle and an end point. That is essentially the basics of that game.
But they're not always within a maze.
No, they are in a maze. But usually, I said, the environment ones kind of aren't, but essentially that is the gist of the game. You start off by going to a door and there is a dot with a line and you drag to that line and then you're done.
Mm.
But there are parts of that game where it just becomes very clever. It's like, I showed you the puzzles where you have to like encompass colours, right? So you have to split up colours. There's a lot of things like that, and then there's areas where the glass will be different. Remember I showed
you that
you
had was
to kind
great.
Of stand.
But again, it was the same concept.
It is the same concept, and it really pushes that. I mean, like, they've got like 600 unique puzzles out of this concept. So, I mean, it kind of shows the
strength of it. And is it comparable to any other game? Did this type of puzzle appear in any other game you've played?
Not really. Like, I mean, obviously there have been mazes and stuff in other games, and they may have been something similar to this, but not to the depth that this goes. Yeah. There's a part, right, where you're going through a bamboo forest, and essentially you will hear sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And then you will have to use the puzzle to kind of trace the waveform. Like, you will hear like a noise.
What was that?
And then you would have a puzzle, and then you would essentially, you would be like going, depending on where you're going. So you have to make the noise using the puzzle. There's a maze you walk around, and it's like walking on gravel, so it's like, and then if you step out of the path it wants you to go, it'll like make a click. So you'll be like, and then you'll have to go, shit, I can't go this way.
You have
to backtrack. So you need to find your way through it by not making the like stepping on broken twigs or whatever sound.
Mm.
It's got a lot of cool things in it. It's really well thought out. There is a slight kind of pretentiousness to the game that I can't really ignore. This is someone kind of laying out an artistic work and saying like, well, this, I don't think I'm going to do better than this. And then the whole sub-narrative of the game of you finding audio logs around and you hearing things in the world and then you watching the videos, which are kind of your reward for solving very difficult puzzles. Mm. They all seem to deal with this idea of, you know, it, your baby, your life's work is only really maybe worth something if there is someone around to see it. You know, it's essentially saying you shouldn't be precious with your ideas, you should fulfill them and then you should get it out in the world, otherwise what's the point of doing it, kind of thing. You know what I mean? That's how you maintain your legacy. And it's kind of interesting, but at the same time, I'm kind of a bit like blah about there not really being an overarching reason for you being on this island, and other than the theories suggesting that, well, you're kind of on this island because this is kind of a retreat away. It's almost like meditation.
Yeah.
For the mind away from the real world, which is what video games is, and then it's like a pseudo narrative of like
metaphor.
The reason you were on the island is because you're playing a video game and you are actually escaping your day to day life, and but you shouldn't.
Whoa, my brain is about to explode.
Yeah, it's just saying, you know, you shouldn't be precious with your ideas. You shouldn't store them away. But remember, playing video games is essentially you getting away from these things, so you should keep them in balance.
That's really interesting that it's a game that acknowledges the nature of what it is and turns that into some sort of question to ponder. And I like that. Yeah. I like that idea. There's not a lot of games which have that sort of...
But I mean, like, you got to chuck a good, purpose. Like... 20 odd hours or 30 hours or maybe more, like maybe you need to read it, maybe it doesn't, isn't that obvious unless you're really like sitting there and listening to the audio logs like I was and then reading theories and kind of going like, okay, well, this is my kind of angle on it, how does what this person believes about this game reflect on that.
After that, did that make it more than just a game for you, or was it still essentially just a video game that it was a good fun time waster, or did it give you anything else?
I don't know. It gave me food for thought.
Because I'm playing. Everyone's gone to the Rapture at the moment, and I feel like, you know, that deals with issues beyond anything next to a simple video game.
Yeah,
that relationships and emotions and such, and that maybe I'm thinking. I haven't completed the game yet. I must testify to that, but. I'm thinking that maybe by the end it's going to have, like if you watch a good film that makes you think about things differently, then perhaps.
I mean, it's left an impression on me, put it that way.
Yeah,
like,
well, then maybe
it's given
that's
me thought.
Enough.
But essentially at the same time then it's kind of why I've kind of come to the terms of like, well, I don't need the Platinum Trophy for this. You know what I mean?
Because
like,
you've got your own fulfillment
out of it. I've got fulfillment out of it. Like, admittedly, I watched the video from that trophy that would have perhaps given me more of this insight because I got all the other music boxy type puzzles out of the way, the solid things. There aren't any where you have to run around a labyrinth, but there's really tough doors to solve, and then you go inside those doors, and your reward is a pattern that you then use in the windmill, and then it gives you videos, and then you watch these videos, and then like lectures, and altogether it's like 2 hours worth of like lecture. It's full on, man. Like, it's proper full on. That's why I can't really get past the degree of
with it. I imagine you get some sort of greater knowledge or perspective out of playing it.
Yeah, there's interesting quotes and there's interesting philosophy stuff, and then I ended up kind of looking at the lives of the people he was quoting and stuff, and there's this weird kind of like pseudo narrative of people talking about science and its relation to religion, and kind of how scientists are science is kind of the last true religion, and that
it feels
people are
to me
proving theories and
how you're describing it. Is it rather reasonably straightforward puzzle game.
It is.
But with the creator has had this sort of idea, he wanted to thrust these philosophical ideas.
Yeah, or at least...
So he stuck them in there, but they're not directly related to the gameplay.
Well, I would say they are, because like I said, they're kind of the underlying thing is, like, you know, again, ideas are good, you should have ideas,
so
you should act on them.
All the lectures relate back to the game and what it's trying to achieve.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, okay.
It's interesting. It gave me a lot to think about, and we are literally approaching the half an hour mark where I said spoilers will end, so I will just say I really like it. I think it's a really good game. The straightforward puzzles are kind of at odds, perhaps, with the deep plot, but I think that's intentional. And there is some other trippy stuff that I will show you after this and not talk about on the podcast, because I think they are things people should find on their own. There's kind of like hidden endings.
It's about exploring.
Yes, it is. And there's something beautiful about how a lot of it's done. Uh-huh. But at the same time, I said I can't separate the degree of pretension from the experience.
I can smell pretension.
Yeah, but I...
From your description.
I still like it, and I'm intrigued by the ideas.
Yes, to find out what he's saying.
Yes, agreed. But it's a good game, and it's taken up a lot of my time, which is a testament to how good a game
it is.
And
you feel it was good time spent.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've got something.
I kind of take
of
back my comment from last week of me saying I would pay £30 to play it all over again, because knowing what I know now, I'm like, okay, it's a good game, but I'm kind of come to terms with it. However, there's this one bit I kind of want to mention on this podcast because I kind of feel embarrassed about it. And those who
is this still
me
a spoiler thing?
No, not really. There's a particular puzzle in the game that involves a broken screen. And I was trying to do this puzzle because I figured out how to solve it, and I couldn't do it because he wouldn't let me start the puzzle, and I thought I'd accidentally broken the game, and I actually tweeted at Jonathan Blow, oh shit, like, I found a game-breaking bug, I can't progress past this point.
You did, or you nearly did?
I did. I tweeted it, and then I realised, like, after putting the controller down for half an hour, and I came back to it, I realised, oh shit, there's actually a really sneaky thing about this. And I was like, shit, Jonathan broke me.
That was the game playing you.
It was the game playing me. It was one of the most, like, ah, fuck you moments ever.
Did he get back to you, actually?
No, he didn't, but I felt like a genius
He's
when I
figured
it out.
He's too busy doing more
stuff. In all fairness, like, if people genuinely have had a problem with the game, like, there was a glitch where if you got on a boat, you could accidentally go outside of the world map, and then you were fucked and you couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
And, like, he was genuinely tweeting to people, like, sorry, but he didn't tweet back at me.
No, because he didn't...
want to spoil it. Yeah. And that's how I knew, fuck. Yeah. There's something new, and so I kept on going. But I've never got that experience of frustration with the game, of like, fuck, the game's broken, I've lost all my... And it's just,
sounds like you made some sort of connection to this game.
Yeah, so. I did, definitely. It's a good game. Other than that, we played a bit of Ori and the Blind Forest yesterday. Well, I say played, I mean, we kind of watched the introduction. There's not really a lot of gameplay in it, and then I did a little bit afterwards before I turned it off, thinking it's a bit of a deep game. But... it was good.
Presentation-wise, it was like, wow, it's great when you see something on a new console that you think, well, I've not seen anything quite like this before. I've not seen a platform game that looks so much like an animation before. You could say Rayman, what was it called? When it was the first Rayman game?
Not Legends, that was the second
one. Yeah, the first new one, Origins.
Origins, yeah.
The Rayman Origins was like, whoa, this is a step up from even that.
Yes.
This actually looks like a Disney film. It's presented in... sort of way as well. I say
definitely.
Disney, not necessarily Disney, but that standard
of production, like a very high-end animated feature.
And it reminded me of The Lion King.
Yeah, it's got a bit of Lion King to it.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit of Tarzan as well, I guess.
Yeah, Tarzan, yeah. Lion King, yeah. Gameplay-wise, I didn't feel like... I didn't play the game, so I'm not sure. It looked like a fairly straightforward platform, but I hardly saw any of it because...
Well, it looks like it's... I've been told it has. It's got the Metroidvania, like, explore and go through areas thing to it.
It didn't actually, from gameplay-wise, look like a game I wanted to pick up.
No, I'm kind of the same. Like, after that introduction... I'm
really wowed by introduction, but the game itself...
That intro was amazing. That intro is probably the best introduction to any game I've ever played.
The way it presented it, it was such emotion.
Yeah.
You know, it was really well-directed piece of cinema. In a way, but in the guise of a game, it was interesting.
Well, that's the thing, right? I mean, like, it kind of sets itself up for a fall, because it's not trying to tell you a story through video games. It's trying to tell you a story blatantly through the language of film and cinema.
Hmm.
And by doing that, it kind of fucks itself over. Because
but it does it all in a 2D perspective.
It does.
Like a video game.
Like a video game. Hmm. But I mean, like, the way it's paced and, like, the way you have control and you don't have control. And I mean, even gameplay-wise, even what you're doing during those points where you have control is not the game. You know what I mean? Like, that game seemed very fast-paced.
It gives you some sort of control, which is great, because I sit through these intros and don't get to do anything. But by giving it a little bit of control, it feels like you're part of the game. I wouldn't rule out that I think this game could potentially be a good one, but from what I saw, it didn't make me go, oh, I need to buy this.
To be honest with you, I kind of played it a bit, and then I was like, I don't know if this is the game I wanted after that introduction. You know, I knew it was this type of game, but then I was like, oh shit, am I wrong about this game? Is it not what I think it is? And then it was what I thought it was, and I'm like, ah.
Too soon to pass judgment, I think, on this game, but...
Yeah, and
let us know if you do spend some more time with it, which I assume you will.
I will. I mean, it came out at the same time as Axiom Verge, and there was the Axiom Verge was the PlayStation 4's version of this game, and then
very different things, aren't they? Or
Metroidvania, really.
The idea of
you going around places and everywhere being gear gated, and you needing to find new guns to get in different areas, and hard and fast paced. There was this, a very tonally completely different.
Yeah.
But at the core of the gameplay mechanics, very similar. Mm. And so I'm interested to see. Because, I mean, I did stick with Axiom Verge, and I beat Axiom Verge, and I really enjoyed it. But at the same time, I don't know if I want to play another one of those games, especially after that introduction kind of promised me something different.
You know, I don't think it's exactly the same game as this, but it reminded me of Lost Winds.
Yeah, it's a little bit of Lost
Winds
in there.
It made me feel like I remember the feeling I had when I first played Lost Winds. Platform game, was it nicely presented, and the atmosphere. It was a great game. A game I finished, actually. Lost Winds. Not often I do that.
Yeah.
But yeah. Made me think of that slightly. Even though the gameplay's a little bit more unique, I'd probably say, in Lost Winds. Yeah.
But to be honest, that's pretty much what I've been playing. I'm looking to get into The Order now. I've borrowed it from a friend because I viewed it a whole 4 hours long, so I wasn't going to pay for it. But I want to play it and get that experience, like I said, on the podcast where
now
I was talking about Assassin's Creed Syndicate.
What kind of game is The Order? Is it a shooter?
It's a first-person... It's a third-person shooter. However, it seems very much falling into maybe the trap of what Ori does in that it seems like it's a film for the most part. It's even shot in... is it 4:3 ratio? Is that the one with the black, like the widescreen thing with the black either side of the top and bottom of the screen?
That's widescreen.
Yeah, it's in widescreen, but what's the ratio? 16:9. It's in 16:9.
4:3s were on an old style TV, like a square.
The whole game is in 16:9, from my understanding.
Yeah.
Makes it look
pretty.
There's
different versions of 16:9. There's... some fit to your television,
yes,
and some are more boxing, like Hateful Eight, for instance.
Yeah,
it's like super Panavision.
I think it has that Panavision thing to it. I've not played it yet. I will put it on while you're here and start it, just so we can see what it looks
like.
I'd
be interested, as long as the intro isn't like half an hour long.
I hope it isn't. To be honest with you, if it is, I might even put it down, because I really want to play Everybody's Gone to the Rapture, which I'm hoping to fit in a bit of next week.
Yeah, I'm hoping that maybe tomorrow I'll go back to it and perhaps finish it, because I don't want to leave it too long, because already I'm feeling like I'm not in it anymore.
Yeah,
I've distanced myself from it, and I need to make sure I keep with it, because I want to finish the game.
Okay, good crack. You bought anything?
Yeah, actually. Not quite as much as last week, but I did make a couple of purchases on eBay, actually.
On the electronic bay?
Believe it or not, you know.
What? I'm
terrible for that shit, aren't I? Star Trek Klingon Honor Guard for PC.
Okay.
This was a game that a friend of mine had when I was growing up, and I thought the cover got me at first. It's really cool cover. It's a Star Trek first person game where you play as a Klingon.
Let me guess, Captain Jean-Luc Picard has a Klingon on his back and he's running like a race.
You're making me think of Luke and Yoda.
There's a Klingon a guard.
Oh, Klingon on a guard. Oh, here's the cover. And as a kid, I thought that was the coolest thing. I'm showing Matt now. You can't see. It's red. It's a Klingon face with a knife.
And a serious, serious facial hair.
Star Trek.
It looks a lot like Worf.
Now,
that's the Klingon,
it looks like
right?
Worf.
I don't know Star Trek.
Yes, it was a well-received game at the time. Well, by some it was well-received, by others they hated it, so it was very split. But I'm interested in giving it a go.
Never play it?
No, I have played it briefly at my friend's house. It's all right. I don't know. I can't remember. You've played it? Or?
No, I'm just asking you. Is it all right?
Is it all right? From what I remember, it was all right, but it was so long ago.
Yeah.
I'm really eager to give it another shot. So that's Klingon Honor Guard. Nice big box PC edition. Hoping my PC will run it. it does say require 3D accelerator.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, but this game, when was it released? 90s, sometime, like 97, perhaps, something like that. Another game I picked up was an Amiga game.
Okay.
It's Impossible Mission 2025.
Oh, no.
Now, Impossible Mission was a game that I was actually not really very aware. I'd seen it around, but I wasn't really aware what it was. And the recent issue of Retro Gamer, which included it in its top 150 games of all time, made me think, well, I've never played this game. Perhaps I should give it a crack. What 2025 is it's a sequel for the Amiga,
okay.
Not created by the original developer, but by people who really love the original game.
Okay, that's interesting.
So in itself, I think it's 2025 is a good game, but it also includes a Amiga conversion of the original, which was first released on the Commodore 64 Spectrum. It's been released more recently on PSP, DS, Wii. But I'm really interested in this game. It's a little bit, I guess you could say it's a little bit like Metroidvania in a way. You know, you're going through rooms, collecting information, hacking computers and taking lifts up and down. The whole world is a bit like a maze, in effect.
But yeah.
Not usually the kind of game I go for, but I'm willing to give this a chance because it's considered one of those classic video games and I feel like I should play it.
Okay, fair enough.
I also put Zorro for the Wii.
Of course you did.
I now have... This is the destiny of Zorro. I have bought a French copy, so it'll probably all be in French.
Oui, oui.
At least I can enjoy the gameplay, I hope. I hope I can enjoy it. I have heard the game, like I've mentioned previously, isn't very good, and no Zorro game actually is very good, apart from perhaps the Spectrum game, which I know nothing about.
Yeah.
So I now have, what's it called? Is it the Mark of Zorro for the PS2, the Mask of Zorro for the
Game Boy Color,
the Destiny of Zorro for the Wii, and I just need that elusive Zorro... Oh, everyone's sending me messages. Zorro for Spectrum.
Yeah.
But I say elusive, I just haven't bought it yet. It's readily available there on eBay for a couple of quid.
Weird that. It's almost as if everyone's trying to sell their Zorro games.
But one day, maybe, I'll post a photo of my entire Zorro boxed collection.
I love how you have a Zorro collection now. Like, where does this end, Tom?
I've got my Tony Hawk's collection. Remember, I collected a Tony Hawk game for every format?
Yes.
I have a few of these collections of things.
You do?
Specific game series.
I've noticed.
Yeah.
Almost like my Game Boy collection, but very focused around very specific themes.
Yeah. My Lemmings collection is coming along rather well. I recently saw a Japanese copy of Lemmings for the PSP with a very different cover.
Yeah.
Which I should probably pick up.
Snap that shit up.
I haven't picked it up yet, but I'm presently bidding on a box NES version of the original Lemmings. I only have it loose cartridge.
Oh, no. And that's just not good enough, is it?
Yeah, that cost me a tenner. Now, at the minute, this box version's going for 13 at the minute.
Oh.
Boxed.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, I'll see how high it gets.
What are you thinking? What's your height?
Well, my highest on this. I don't want to pay more than 17.
You're not going to get it.
For a box NES game.
I reckon you won't get it.
I think it'll probably go for around about 20.
I reckon it'll go for about 25.
Yeah.
That's my prediction. It's my
top
tips.
Let's find out next week. It reminds me of a feature we had on the Blast Process show.
Yeah.
Years ago. eBay and Etta.
Yes, I remember eBay and Etta.
Yes. Where
Dave would say...
It was Ben who came up with the quiz. The Blast Process show was something that we did together, me and Matt, once.
Yeah.
But something I used to do before moving to Denmark with...
There is a Blast Process show now, though, right?
There is, but it's very intermittent. It's not regular. If you're interested, you can find it on blastprocess.com.
Yeah. We're not on that one, though.
No, we're not on that. It's not really anything to do with us other than the fact that we are
on Blast Process.
On blastprocess.com. You can check that out if you like. But the old ones, you know, that that particular one that we featured on with eBay and Etta, that was good. That was a good idea. Now Ben would come up with ask us how much this game went for on eBay, and then we'd put in our guesses.
Yeah.
And then whoever was closest won.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was always, he picked some great games, like it's a damaged copy of UN Squadron for Super Nintendo, covers fallen off or something. How much did that go for?
I remember I got the price right on a Virtual Boy thing on the podcast we were on, because I'd been watching this broken Virtual Boy and going like, maybe I could buy that and fix it.
That was always a twist, and it's broken.
Yeah,
how much? So yeah, perhaps we should bring that back. That was a
maybe
great
we should
feature.
Nab that.
Steal it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, are you buying anything else?
Am I buying anything else? No, not at the moment.
Okay.
Not game wise. I thought about buying the Inkling Girl amiibo.
Yes.
Because I just like that character design.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And I haven't got many amiibos. I've got Sonic. I'll eventually get Ryu and Bayonetta, but if I see that cheap.
Yeah, fair enough. So I bought Shovel Knight amiibo. That was my last amiibo purchase. I mentioned
you've bought
last
a few amiibos,
podcast.
So you have quite a considerable.
I have. I do have the ones above my television that you can see behind me, Thomas, are actually going. They're the ones I don't want. As much as I love a bit of Captain Falcon.
But you have for people who want them.
Yes, I do. Mm. Well, not all of them yet. If there's any you are particularly catching your eye.
Princess Peach.
Yeah.
Rosalina.
Yes.
Or Rosaline, I don't know how you say it. Princess Zelda, Marth. Is that Marth?
It is Marth.
What's his name?
I'm keeping Little Mac,
I think.
The Wii Fit Trainer I kind of want to keep as well, because I got it when that was ridiculously rare. There's also Falcon, right? Captain Falcon should be up there as well.
I cannot see him.
He's there somewhere, anyways. Yeah. I don't know.
No, I don't. See, I'm very picky when it comes to amiibos. I don't just want all amiibos.
About it, you could get him and go, Falcon Punch!
I could do, but I'm not that.
Falcon Punch!
If it was Octoman, I'd go for him.
Okay.
He was my favourite from F-Zero. Stuffed Captain Falcon.
You're wrong. You're wrong! Anyways, I picked up Shovel Knight, like I said, last week.
Yeah, Shovel Knight, amiibo.
I bought a few Game Boy Color games. Surprise, surprise.
Oh,
this
you
week.
Did? Did you buy Earthworm Jim?
I did buy Earthworm Jim for Game Boy Color, yes. I did.
Is that Earthworm Jim 3D or is that the original Earthworm
That
Jim?
Is Earthworm Jim 2, I believe.
2.
Right. Yes.
I might have heard that's not a good conversion.
It is not a good conversion. I know this. However, it was boxed in 50 kroner, so I was like, well, I'll go for that.
You've played it then?
I haven't yet, but I will. I have a backlog of Game Boy Color games to try out tomorrow. Picked up a copy of Bugs and Lola, Worms Armageddon for the Game Boy Color, which you have played, I believe.
Oh, it's fine.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah.
A copy of Hollywood Pinball and also a copy of Bob the Builder. Can he fix it? Yes, he can.
Is that the subtitle?
No, I wish it was. It's something like, all get together or something like that. I'm just like, oh, come on. At least use the tagline.
I wonder if that's a good game.
I don't know. Worth a try. I've actually purchased it accidentally twice this week. Well, it's because I bought one that came in this lot I bought, and then I bought one last week for 10 kroner because it was 10 kroner, and I thought, well, I'll get that for 10 kroner. But the label was slightly scuffed, and I forgot I'd already agreed to buy this one in a bundle, but it doesn't matter. So, £1 game if you want it, Tom. Take a gamble. Take a gamble. Take a chance. Other than that, I picked on Xbox One, which we briefly talked about on last week's podcast.
That's a big deal.
It was a big deal.
You got it for a reasonable price.
I did. The price shall remain nameless, but I got it for a very good deal.
Yeah. Less than I paid for my Halo version.
Yes. Considerably less. Considerably less than I've seen it anywhere online. Less than I've been seeing it sell for on eBay. If you really want to know, it's on Twitter.
You only have one game.
I do. I have Ori and the Blind Forest. However, thanks to Denmark's amazing library system, I just rented Rare Replay, so I'm going to get stuck into a bit of that over the next 2 weeks. I have it on rental, I think.
It for 2 weeks?
Yeah, I just want to play a bit of Jet Force Gemini.
Nice.
Take that, Blockbuster. No wonder you went under. other than that, I got a box Sega Mega Drive this week.
Oh, yeah.
Very happy owner about a working Sega Mega Drive 2, finally, after all mine being fucking temperamental and breaking. Nothing really to write home about on the games. It was like NHL, NFL, NBA, FIFA.
KGB.
KGB. Yeah, all CIA. All the acronyms. No, but I got...
NYPD.
I got Mega Games Volume 1 boxed again. I got a copy of The Lion King, this time actually in English. And I also got a copy of Jurassic Park Rampage Edition, which is a game I've wanted to play for a long time.
That the top-down game?
It's the platformer.
Platformer?
Yeah, where you play as a dinosaur.
Mm.
Yeah, so I'd be looking forward to playing that. I just need to get a Framemeister or an SDTV now, so I can play
Isn't the Mega Drive 2 only RF enabled, unless you get the right cable?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I remember I bought mine with a kind of adapted
oh
AV
my god
cable.
I have one, yay. I got one with one of the dodgy things I have. Sweet, I can actually hook that up later. I forgot I had one of those.
Okay, it'll work with it.
Yeah, it's got a RGB out cable. I bought an aftermarket cool. RGB cable. Grand. I'm gonna have a go with that later, see how it is. Thank you for reminding me I had that, because I'd completely forgotten. Other than that, I also got my HDMI boy, finally. You will hear my opinions about that as well on the Smurfs episode. Pretty fucking good, though. I'll just give you that spoiler in advance.
Well, we knew that, because you'd already had a go.
Yes, I had. But I had several concerns that had been addressed during the prototype
and
stages.
It looks nice, actually.
Yeah, it's pretty swish. It came in a nice box. Check my Twitter out, @GameBoyle, if you want to see some pictures.
It still looks like a sandwich.
Yes, it does look like a sandwich.
But a nicer sandwich.
It's got something
was.
In the middle, rather than, like, weird... dodgy plastic.
Yeah.
But it's got a quality, high quality 3D printed stuff.
Engraved plastic.
Yes,
yeah.
It has. It says prototype down the side of 1 of 5. 1 of 25, actually. Sorry, I apologize for getting my facts wrong. Other than that, I think that's really about it. That's all I've bought. I'm eyeing up a few things, but I won't say what they are until I actually have them.
Yeah, I'm cut down a little bit.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I
had a spending spree the other week.
Yeah, I'd be quite happy not to buy any more games this month. I don't think there's anything I really want. I may pick up a Game Boy game or two if they show up, but I'm not actively searching for anything else this month. Going back to Wales next month.
Oh, but then again, you might want to pick up a game when in Wales.
Yeah, I may do. I may get a Flipper and Kalupa for the Game Boy Color.
Sorry?
There was a Flipper cartoon, apparently, in the 2000s. At some point, they made a game. We never got the cartoon, but we got the game.
I wonder if that's like Echo the Dolphin.
I hope it is. Who knows? We'll see.
Yeah, I've just realised, you know, there's both only Xbox Ones now. We no longer have to ask Microsoft to give us an Xbox One. We used to do that quite regularly,
I
remember.
Because
we could never talk about Xbox. We were like, we're not going to talk about Xbox, because neither of us have one. But if you'd like to give us one, we'll take it.
Yeah,
I take it no one from Microsoft ever listened to this podcast.
Maybe not. Microsoft, give us some games if you're listening. Maybe that'd be nice.
We have Xbox Ones.
I've only got one.
You know, we're sort of enjoying them.
Yeah, exactly. I won't tell people how gash your dashboard is if you give us some games.
No, I have had some good experience with Xbox One. I really like the controller.
I prefer the PS4 controller still.
I think once you've spent some real time with the controller, I think you'll feel differently.
I love the PS4 controller.
It
is my favourite controller.
It
topped the Xbox 360 controller for me, and that's no heavy feat. This one just feels like another Xbox 360 controller.
I don't know. Those triggers are nicer.
It's a bit clunkier for me.
Those sticks are nice.
I miss the gap in the top of the controller now where the home button is. I don't want that to be flat. Yeah. I kind of used to hook my fingers around there when I wasn't shooting stuff.
Yeah, well, let's know where you spent a bit more time with it.
Yeah, well, admittedly, I have only held that controller in my hands for a maximum of 30 minutes, so maybe I'm being a bit too harsh. I like the thumbsticks. The thumbsticks, I think, are nice in the PS4s. I just don't like the controller layout.
You know, Cuphead's on the horizon, isn't it?
It is.
I don't know how long we've got to wait for it. Probably a while, but I've seen more videos of it recently. The Xbox One exclusive this year. And it's... I didn't realise, actually, that all they've shown of it so far is bosses. It's like, it seems like it's a game comprised entirely of really hard boss battles.
Well,
it's a shooter in respect.
It seemed like most of the game was boss battles. Apparently, they showed it in E3 the first time they did. And everyone was like, what the fuck? This is just boss battles. So apparently, they've said, oh, no, we've made levels. But they've not shown any of those levels.
I've heard that said. But then I've seen other ones which have been saying, oh, it's boss battles entirely.
Yeah, exactly.
And then other people say, no, there are levels in this. But it contradicts something that was said, that they didn't want to just make another cutie platformer.
Yeah.
Exactly. Unravel's coming out reasonably soon.
Yes, it is. It's not very far off. As is The Division, which will probably be the next big purchase of mine, I think.
Oh, really? You're interested in that? I'm interested in Unravel because I think, you know, it's looks like it's got a really nice atmosphere to it. Great mechanics, too.
Yeah.
It's original.
It does. I gotta be honest, I had no interest in The Division until the beta came out, and then I watched a few people play it, and I'm like, okay, maybe there's something to this. Kind of reminds me of playing Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter, but on a big, massively multiplayer, okay. I can fuck anyone over at any time vibe, which you don't get from GRAW.
I won't be going for it, but if you happen to pick it up at any point, then be interesting hearing about that.
Yeah, one. I'll have a look. It'll get me away from playing first-person shooters for a while.
Street Fighter V.
Yes.
It's on the horizon. I think it's released next week.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to pick it up straight away. I'm still umming
and
ahhing about
that. You fucking liar.
I probably
Come will. On, Tom. Let's be honest with ourselves.
Yeah, maybe we should just be honest with ourselves and say that I'm going to pick up Street Fighter V.
Yeah, I think you're going to, Tom.
But then I know there's going to be a reworked version a year down the line, or maybe less, and probably gonna pick up that one as well.
Yeah, I probably will do the same. I'm not gonna get Street Fighter 5 straight away because I won't be here.
No,
but I will get it towards the
it's
end
got
of the
that
month.
Free story mode that's coming
in
eventually
June.
Yeah, which is cool. It's that kind of sounds like maybe they wanted to get it out sooner than it was ready. And so they decided to leave this part out? Or
yeah.
It's interesting that they're releasing it later, is all I'll say.
Yeah. I want Nitro Plus Blasters Heroines Infinite Duel.
Heroin?
Yeah, it's an all-female fighter that's coming out.
I don't know about this one.
Made by the people who make Shenran Kagura Burst, but it's also the people who made Arcana Hearts.
That's, what's that coming out on PS4?
PS4, and it has Arcana Hearts fighting mechanics, but it's all visual novel characters, which is why I'm a bit there about it. But I saw it being played, and it seems like a less overly technical version of BlazBlue. So I'm quite interested in it because there's not so much going on in terms of like meters and combo counters.
Is it comparable to Persona Arena?
Yes.
Because that was... I know you like that.
Yeah. It would seem so... But it would seem it's a bit more stripped down even.
Oh, wow.
So I think it's a more...
Like Arcana Hearts.
Pick up and play Arcana Hearts style beat-em-up. But it has got a Persona style like combo-y, Marvel-y, calling a character every once in a while to do a special move, but without all the bullet spam and stuff you can do.
I'm pleasantly presently resisting the urge to purchase any sort of 2D fighters with that sort of Japanese anime flavour. I mean, you could argue that Street Fighter's got a bit of that in the mix, but Street Fighter, Street Fighter, it's a different kettle of fish, I feel.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I saw it on Giant Bomb. I would have had no interest in this game anyway because I picked up Shenran Kagura Burst just because I thought it was going to be a rare game. That kind of backfired on me because now we can buy a bugger all, and I really didn't like it. However, I do like Arcana Hearts. I do think that's a pretty decent beat-em-up, to be honest.
Yeah. You're going to get a Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Volleyball 3?
Of course I'm going to import it from Japan straight away and play it in Japanese because I just like that photo mode.
Apparently the Asia version has English.
There's a Japanese
version and the Asia version.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, I really don't want to play it much. You know, I
really kind of like the first one.
You know, that's what makes me wonder about getting it because I actually thought it was a really relaxing game.
The first one was pretty damn good. Like, I prefer, in all fairness, even better a volleyball game than something like Beach Spikers and all of this kind of stuff. Like, I quite enjoyed playing
it. It was very playable.
I didn't really like the second one, though. The second one kind of got more into like fan servicey. Hey, this game's all about you spending countless hours to get bikinis.
Nice as it is to look at women, even being computer generated women, it's the gameplay that makes you come back and play the game.
Yes, it is.
Because you can obviously look at women in other ways.
Exactly. There's a thing called the internet. I don't want to break it to you. You're listening to this podcast on it. There may be naked women on it.
Yeah. So, dubious. I'd like to see some reviews come in of this. And if it's matching the quality of the original.
I don't think it will, though. I think it'll be...
I think I'll stick with the first one. If I feel like playing that, I'll just play that one.
I mean, to be honest with you, like, it's been a long time since I've actually been bothered to get that discount and play the first one, because it means setting up the Xbox. Like, things on the original Xbox actually have to be like me really worth me playing. Stranger's Wrath was a game I really liked on the original Xbox that I would get it out for. Same with Panzer Dragoon Order. But I never really for Beach Volleyball. Maybe I'd play it if it was set up, but
I just liked, you know, the music. The fact you could put your own, listen to your own music while you played it as well.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
And yeah, a nice atmosphere.
Yeah, we'll see.
We did.
I don't know.
But this one is still going, it going every installment goes further and further towards being a little bit pervy.
Well, yeah.
It was always a little bit pervy, but now it's like...
Yeah, but I mean, like, if that's what you're into, that's what you're into. Yeah. I don't think that should be the issue, but I mean...
But the way they're marketing it is...
Well, the way that they... it's not even necessarily the marketing. The way that, like, all of this backlash came that they weren't releasing it because of feminists and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, and the fact they're not releasing outside of Asia is stupid, in my opinion, because it is what it is. And well, come on, why not? Why shouldn't...
If that's what they're afraid of, I'm kind of like, well, are they... Do they just think this game is kind of, like, stylistically more towards Japan in like that's more acceptable there? Or are they seeing things like Polygon and then just making a mountain out of a molehill with gender issues?
So they can
stuff?
Just see those reviews coming from Polygon.
Yeah, but on the other hand, I'm just kind of like, well, maybe it has gone a bit more crude and maybe then it is a bit weird to release it in the West. Like, I've been seeing things like Fire Emblem they've taken out where there's like a petting mode in the new Fire Emblem game that's not in the Western releases. And
petting?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it's like a mini game where you end up touching the character, not in an appropriate way, but you know what I mean? Like,
okay. Well, I pet my Pokemon and Pokemon.
Yeah, it's kind of that mechanic, but with your characters. So it's a bit weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they took it out. But I mean, like, maybe if there's weird shit like that in Dead or Alive, I mean, you know, the whole... The photo mode was a bit on the nose anyway, but I mean, like...
But it really wasn't very good. And then I imagine it's a lot more in-depth now.
Yeah, exactly, and that's what I'm thinking. And like... I'm just like, well, you know, maybe if that is your thing, you can import it. And like I said, if it is a game, I mean, at its heart, I will import it.
It's available in English if you want to import it.
But
it's probably doing Play Asia a good amount of business right now.
But
the
I mean,
it's not.
If it's the if it's closer to the second one than the first, I don't really give
There's
a shit.
Climbing in it. I know that's one of the new games.
Okay.
For the Bum Bash one.
Yeah.
Where you've got the two girls back to back on a thing, floating thing in the middle of some water.
Yeah.
And you have to bum bash the other one off the platform.
Okay. Great. Okay, that's probably why it's not coming out yet then. Okay. I think that brings us to the end of the podcast.
Yeah, we've actually talked about some forthcoming games.
We
haven't done that in a while.
I
thought
know.
That was a good thing.
I know.
We slip in at the end there. What's
good.
On the horizon?
Yeah, yeah. We've not gone to Eurogamer and checked the releases, but it's okay. Maybe we'll do that next week. Speaking of next week, there may not be a podcast. Depending on your schedule next week, Thomas, we may have to slip in an early podcast.
I'm free Sunday afternoon.
I'm not here Sunday. That's the thing. I'm going back to Wales to watch the rugby.
Okay. So
I don't know if there'll be a
bear
podcast.
Bear with us.
Yes.
Any of these occasions where we're not able to podcast, we do always intend to.
I will try my damnedest to corner you at some point and record a podcast.
But it probably won't happen.
But I mean, if it doesn't happen as well, I mean, it'll be a short podcast anyway, so I'm not going
to play
that much.
I don't think there's a lot to talk about if we were to do it midweek. So we'll probably save it. So come back to us in 2 weeks.
Yes.
And we'll have a lot of fun things to talk about.
But you never know. If you are subscribed to us through your podcasting service, such as iTunes, maybe there will be a podcast pop-up next week. You never know, unless you're subscribed.
So you must subscribe, regardless
of
what happens.
You should subscribe. While you are subscribing, if you haven't already, you should maybe leave us a cheeky review. That'd be nice.
You must subscribe if you like it,
yeah.
By the way. That's the only reason.
Well, no, I mean, like, you should subscribe anyway, even if you don't like it. Just, like, shake your fist at an iPod.
If you don't want to miss an episode, it's definitely the best way of keeping on top of Tom Matt Attack.
It is. I wholeheartedly agree, Thomas. You can also find us at blastprocess.com and tommattattack.com.
I hope you find us at blastprocess.com.
Podcast.
We're working on that through technical difficulties at the moment. All the posts are there for our archive podcasts.
Yes.
I just can't seem to publish them. We've got Mike of Blast Process on the case at the minute. He said he'd look into it for me.
Yeah.
And I won't publish new ones until we're up to date with the old ones. Otherwise, okay. It's going to turn to a mess.
Yes, perhaps.
So,
okay. Well, you can find our archive on Blast Process then. Anyways, like I said, iTunes.
Up to episode 104.
iTunes, we have everything. Oh, shit. So it's like almost like 14 episodes behind at this point. Okay. Maybe don't go to Blast Process then. Maybe go to tomandmattattack.com/podcast or iTunes if you are looking for this podcast.
We'll let you know when the Blast Process situation changes.
But yes.
Feel free to go there. There's always content.
You should. There is always great content.
A review from Matt of Darius. G. Darius Burst.
Yes, there is.
Is it G. Darius?
Yes, G. Darius Burst, yeah. Nicely good. Remembered. Should give that a read if you're interested in that game. I've already talked about it in the podcast. Other than that, you can find us on Twitter at TMAcast. I check it once a week. Tom should be checking it. But
I need to get signed in on my Twitter account. Let's do that.
Let's do that. But other than that, you can find us at GameBoyle for me and at TomParry11 for Thomas if you want to tweet at us. And you can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/TomAttack, where you can go and like us there. Okay, until next week, people, or the week after, depending on what happens. I assume it'll probably be the week after. Game on.
Game on.
Yeah.